Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, some days we show up without really a game plan because there's going to be so many things that are going to come up, so many things to talk about. And then, you know, of course, one phone call can change the whole course of a show based on what you want to talk about or maybe something that you say. Today, though, let me think. I think we've got to do a little bit of a game plan here. First off, let's do some backwards planning. Later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, our statewide show, we've got several great guests that are going to join us. Montana Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. He's going to join us for our first weekly update. And, of course, it's in the state Senate where they've been having this fight over the rules. And, here we go again, a handful of Republicans teaming up with Democrats, changing the rules, undermining the GOP leadership. It's like, oh, great, here we go again. But anyway, that's politics, as Senate President Matt Regeer says. We're going to talk not just about the rules inside baseball stuff, but some bigger picture things as well during our weekly legislative update here later on in the 9 o'clock hour. And then we're going to take you to the House side of the Montana Capitol. Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow out of Billings is going to join us to talk about a very big, important issue that they're going to be tackling right out the gates. And then another awesome guest right after her that's going to be talking about that same topic. So that's in the 9 o'clock hour. The 8 o'clock hour, I mean, we're going to have open phones, but the 8 o'clock hour, what I want to do in the 8 o'clock hour, I want to play some audio of Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. He was on Mark Levin's program last night. If you missed it, I got to say a big, big thank you to the Disney family in Libby, Montana, because they were the one, you guys know I get in here at 0:30 early in the morning, and then I was running around like crazy yesterday. But, I try to check in on messages and, stay abreast of the news and, because you're always preparing for a show like this, right? It's not like, 9-to-5 job, yep, okay, and then you can just ignore it and then just show up and, what are we going to do today? You got to always stay on top of this stuff. So, but they sent me a heads up on a number of things. I mean, it's like we should send them, a gift card for a free meal out or something, because they gave us the show prep today. They were like, hey, did you see Tim Sheehy's going to be on Mark Levin's program? So I made sure I recorded some audio of that while I was, running around, taking kids here and there. So I made sure I recorded that audio. I want to save that for the 8 o'clock hour of the show so our friends in the Flathead get to hear that. Mark Levin is on KJJR in the Flathead as well. 7 o'clock hour of the show, David Noble. I'm hoping he'll join us for our every Thursday update. Always great to have David Noble in the house. And then here in the 6 o'clock hour, President Trump was on Capitol Hill. Meeting with Republican senators. I understand he's also meeting with the Democrats. But speaking of Tim Sheehy, he not only was he on Mark Levin's program last night talking about the fires in California and the failures that have led to this moment in time, particularly at the hands of the Democrats in California and the Democrats in Washington. He was also on with Laura Ingraham. And as he was on with Laura Ingraham, President Trump, they went to him live on Capitol Hill. So we've got some of those highlights that are must hear. We'll have it for you here shortly.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies. High temperature readings will stay from the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures will head back down to the mid-teens. Then on Friday, with partial sun and some increasing cloudiness, high temperatures staying back in the mid to upper 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin convening a meeting of the multinational Ukraine Defense Contact Group for the final time during his tenure Thursday, a group which White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says benefits America because
what happens to Ukraine, we very much believe, is in our national security interest.
Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh adds,
the UDCG has also been critical in bolstering Ukraine's defense capability and building a credible deterrence force.
The U.S. is expected to announce another $500 million in aid to Ukraine, leaving a little less than $4 billion in funds, which will roll over to the incoming Trump administration. Singh says DOD officials are not worried about aid ending because
Ukraine has bipartisan support within Congress.
President-elect Trump has been critical of the money spent on Ukraine's behalf. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, what do you guys think? Would Montanans welcome Canada as the 51st state of the United States of America? Well, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got your answer. Plus, in the meantime, I wrote my answer. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see it right there. Plus, this is the first time in nearly 130 years that this has happened in Montana. What am I talking about? Well, you can find out. Check out that story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ah, shoot. I was going to start with the raw audio of President Trump's remarks. You know, while Tim Sheehy, Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, was live on the air on Fox News with Laura Ingraham last night, that's when President Trump then took to the microphones on Capitol Hill. So they cut away from the Sheehy interview briefly and then had the live on-air remarks from President Trump. So I was going to start with the Trump remarks this morning and then here later in the 6 o'clock hour get to what Montana Senator Tim Sheehy had to say, because, man, he was just spot on. I mean, he was firing on all cylinders, talking about the failed policies that have gotten us to this point of these devastating wildfires raging across California. But I do have, Peter Ducey, the Fox News White House correspondent, has a report here that I think sums up basically what President Trump had to say, especially when it comes to California and Governor Gavin Newsom and the repeated failures of this left-wing ideology. Tear down the dams. Don't divert any water. Just let all the water spill into the ocean. Let's not address the forest health issues either. Here we go. This is Peter Ducey's report.
President-elect Trump is trying to make the case that California's problems wouldn't be as bad if it wasn't for President Biden, writing, "No water in the fire hydrants. No money in FEMA. This is what Joe Biden is leaving me. Thanks, Joe." Water issues in California have been on Trump's radar for years. Trump wrote, "Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way." Newsom's office counters, "There is no such document as the water restoration declaration. That is pure fiction."
All right, but let's go into it here. Jesse Waters had another great segment last night, another great show last night, and he asks the question, how come California doesn't have water? I don't know if you guys heard, but the mayor of Los Angeles, she came out and said, no, we had enough water in our water tanks. That's not the issue here. When she finally got back from her big fancy trip to Africa, that why the mayor of L.A. has to attend some celebration in Africa. You're not the secretary of state. You're the freaking mayor of Los Angeles. But so anyway, she finally gets back, and now she's trying to look in charge and tough. And, oh, no, we had enough water, but for some reason we didn't have water in the, in the hydrants. Maybe it's a pressure issue. And then the Department of Public Works in L.A., her own department, had to correct her and be like, actually, we didn't have enough water in those tanks. So why doesn't Southern California have water?
Why isn't there any water coming out of the fire hydrants? Los Angeles has had 2 years of record rainfall. It hasn't rained this much year to year since the 1800s. Well, guess what? All the rain just washes into the ocean. A decade ago, California voted to spend billions on water storage and reservoirs. Today, Governor Newsom hasn't finished building a single one. They've done nothing to store water in a decade. Trump was just in California this fall and told Gavin he needed to get it together.
you have so much water, and all those fields that are right now barren, the farmers would have all the water they needed. And you could revert water up into the hills where you have all the dead forests, where the forests are so brittle. Because no places like California. I go to Austria. The head of Austria tells me, you know, we have trees that are much more flammable than what you have in California. We never have forest fires because they maintain their forests. And you have all that water that could be used to, as water, what they call water flow, where the where the land would be damp. And you'd stop many of these horrible fires.
Before Donald Trump left office, he signed an order that would funnel more water from Northern California into Southern California. Newsom, instead of saying thank you, filed a lawsuit to stop it, saying it would kill the smelt. If you don't know what a smelt is, neither did we. It's a fish the size of your pinky. California can't get enough water to fight fires because of a stupid fish. We're saving fish instead of people.
Yeah, there you go. That was just a fascinating 90 seconds there from Jesse Waters. Did that have the Adam Carolla piece in it? I kind of tuned out for just a second there. I was checking some messages. Did that have the Adam Carolla angle? No, that one didn't. Okay, I got a whole nother clip to go with that then. But Jesse Waters, that clip of Trump talking about the water, I saw it on X. Somebody else had shared that on X, and I was like, I just want to verify to make sure that the time frame, because I didn't know the person on X that was sharing information. So I was like, okay, is this legit or was the video from several years ago? And like I'm seeing with the post Elon Musk purchase of X, which used to be known as Twitter, man, it used to be before. If you'd see something on Twitter, you'd have to be like, okay, I got to go verify this because it didn't always check out. Now in the post Elon Musk X, it's like, wow, it's like I don't have that problem. Almost everything I'm spotting and seeing on X checks out. It verifies. It's reliable. And so, but Jesse Waters certainly did the work on that one. So we've got that for you, of course, as your Fox News affiliate here on your local news talk station here. Karen Montana Talks in the early morning hours of the show. All right, so that kind of tees up the conversation then with Laura Ingraham and Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. I want to get to that here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. We'll save the conversation with Mark Levin and Tim Sheehy for later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. It was pretty funny, though. At the very end of Mark Levin's conversation, because you guys know Mark Levin does not suffer fools. Mark Levin will call out anybody. He will tear into anybody. Get off the phone. He finishes his conversation with Tim Sheehy, and he's like, that is one smart dude. So anyway, we'll hear from both of those smart dudes here in a bit.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Without question, one of the greatest scenes in Washington, D.C. when a big snowstorm hits is for kids to go sledding on Capitol Hill, right in front of the U.S. Capitol. This is a custom which dates back as long as there's been a Capitol, a hill, sleds, snow, and kids. The biggest snowstorm in 3 years coated the Washington, D.C. region with a foot of snow on January 6th. It was one of the best opportunities D.C. area kids have had to go sledding at the Capitol in years. But there was one problem. The snow fell on January 6th. This was the anniversary of one of the most ignominious days in American history, the riot at the Capitol in 2021. And this year, it was the day that lawmakers would meet in a joint session of Congress to certify the Electoral College results. Congressional security officials erected a massive barricade around the Capitol days ago. They deemed the day a national security event, like the Super Bowl or the Olympics, and closed off the Capitol grounds to anyone except those who had to be there for the election certification. So no one got to sled at the Capitol this year because of January 6th. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with health care, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Are you? Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, on Wednesday, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced a new and comprehensive approach to long-term grizzly bear recovery in the lower 48 states and the concerns of those living with and near bears. The agency had until January 20th to decide whether or not to delist the apex predator from the endangered species list as petitioned by the states of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. After the announcement, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte blasted the Biden administration for its decision.
We are deeply disappointed with the Biden administration and its complete defiance of the science and the law. The state of Montana has proven we are ready to manage this fully recovered species. This decision makes it clear that Joe Biden has embraced a scorched earth strategy on his way out the door.
Montana Stock Growers Association Executive Vice President Rayleigh Honeycutt also expressed frustration that sound science wasn't considered in the service's decision to keep grizzlies federally protected.
Today was just a great example of how politics and political agendas come into play, because we know that grizzly bears have recovered. The science is there to prove it, yet we do not see a proposal that is even considering any form of delisting.
Now, those in opposition are also concerned with the Biden administration's decision to establish a single distinct population segment encompassing all six recovery zones in Idaho, Montana, Washington, and Wyoming. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service invites public comments on its proposed update and has also scheduled four public meetings across our region, including January 28th in Missoula, Montana, January 29th in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, January 30th, a virtual meeting, and February 10th in Cody, Wyoming. For more information on the proposed rule and how to participate in the public comment process, you can visit us online at westernagnetwork.com or check us out on Facebook and YouTube.
Hello, everybody. This is Ty Thompson with Northern Livestock Video here in Billings. We got our big diamond ring sale coming up Monday, January the 13th. Over 53,000 cattle involved in that sale. There's a tremendous amount of cattle for later delivery, including a lot of grass cattle. There's some red cows for immediate delivery, pairs for late spring delivery. If you're in need of any replacement cattle for grass, go to northernlivestockvideo.com. See all the video and all the details. But that's Monday, January 13th, 53,000 head for the annual diamond ring sale for Northern Livestock Video.
Do rising interest rates have you concerned? Hi, I'm Blake Hotman. At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we provide operating loans, term loans, and long-term fixed real estate loans to farmers and ranchers across Montana. Our rates are consistently lower than the competition, with no loan fees on operating and term loans. Montana Livestock is here to keep more money in your pocket. Give us a call at 1-800-332-3405 to talk to one of our officers, or look us up at ag-credit.com.
Well, according to Drovers, imports of feeder cattle from Mexico are expected to partially resume the week of January 20th. Imports will be slow at first due to the need to implement and test new protocols. Live animal movements, though, are expected to resume fully sometime after that initial reopening. USDA's APHIS suspended imports of live cattle and bison from Mexico on November 22nd following the detection of New World screwworm along Mexico's southern border. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Wow, great reporting there by Russell Nimitz all around on that horrific grizzly decision out of the Biden administration here. 11 days until Donald J. Trump is sworn in as president of the United States. And once again, it cannot come fast enough. You know, I was thinking about this decision by the Biden administration to refuse to delist the grizzly from the endangered species list. And it reminds me also of these California wildfires that are raging and their destructive so-called environmental policies, their radical environmentalist nonsense, their radical animal rights nonsense. These are predatory policies. We're talking about the Predator, the Grizzly. I'll tell you what, if think about Steve Guttenberg. Is it Steve? Is that his first name? Do I remember it right? Anyway, Guttenberg. I remember this guy because when I was a kid in the 80s, I loved watching the Police Academy movies. My dad, as I've told you before, he was big in summer theater. He was a big singer. Well, not a big singer, but you get the point. Anyway, so he performed at the Big Fork Summer Theater. He goes to L.A. thinking, I'm going to try to become an actor, right? Well, he ends up, working as like a singing waiter at this restaurant in L.A. And one of the guys who worked at this, there was a lot of interesting people that worked at that restaurant. But one of them was Michael Winslow. Remember the Police Academy movies? The guy who would beep, 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 he'd make all the noises. And, man, he was just hysterical. Well, I always thought it was so cool that my dad knew that guy and worked with that guy. And so, and got, you know, pictures of him with my brother when he was a baby and everything. But Guttenberg is the, he's one of the police officers in the Police Academy movies back in the 80s. And so, but anyway, you know, I think it was Guttenberg was describing how, you know, just the humility of Los Angeles, of everybody in Los Angeles right now, where it doesn't matter if you're a Hollywood actor, it doesn't matter who you are, when you're basically wheeling your little suitcase down the street to flee and evacuate your neighborhoods. I mean, that's what's going on. And so you look at this destruction. People are saying that Los Angeles literally looks like hell. Some of you thought L.A. looked like hell before the past few days. They're describing is this. It literally looks like hell in Los Angeles right now. These are predatory policies, predatory, deliberate failures of the left, of the Biden regime. And that's really the big picture of what is going on here. As you've heard President Trump's remarks, President Trump's repeated warnings. It's just kind of like, you know, what's been going on in Europe. Donald Trump warned the Europeans, do not become reliant on Russian gas. Do not build that pipeline. And what did they do? Oh, yeah, we'll take Russian gas. We'll become reliant. How many times does Donald Trump have to warn these people and have to raise the alarm? My goodness, predatory policies, predatory failures. So no big surprise that the Biden regime would make this decision about yet another predator, the Grizzly, here in his final few disastrous days in office. The live presser, the little gaggle that President Trump did with reporters on Capitol Hill yesterday, just after he had met with Republican senators, and Senator Tim Sheehy was live with Laura Ingraham as they cut away to this.
Expensive structure ever built in the history of our country, relatively speaking, the most expensive by far. We lost 38,000 people. They gave it to them for $1, and then they charge more for our ships. It's not going to happen. And China's running the Panama Canal. That's not going to happen either.
Pandemic, you often said that you didn't believe that you should bail out Blue State and Blue River being this normal. Given your criticism of Governor Gavin Newsom, are you willing to work with him, and do you believe that federal aid should be provided to California for as long as it takes?
Well, it's very sad because I've been trying to get Gavin Newsom to allow water to come. You'd have tremendous water up there. They send it out to the Pacific because they're trying to protect a tiny little fish, which is in other areas, by the way, called the smelt. And for the sake of a smelt, they have no water. They had no water in the fire hydrants today in Los Angeles. It was a terrible thing. And we're going to get that done. It's going to finally be done. I got it done from the federal side, and he didn't want to sign it, but it's not going to happen again like that. There's no reason. Can you imagine? You have farmers that don't have any water in California. They have plenty of water. They don't have a drought. They send it out to the Pacific, and it's crazy. So what's happening in California is a true tragedy. I know those areas very well. I have many friends living in those houses. That is a true tragedy. Nobody ever thought. I mean, virtually Beverly Hills and areas around Beverly Hills are being decimated. The biggest homes, some of the most valuable homes in the world are just destroyed. I don't even know. You know, you talk about a tax base. If those people leave, you're going to lose half your tax base of California. This is a true tragedy, and it's a mistake of the governor, and you could say the administration. They don't have any water. They didn't have water in the fire hydrants. They don't have water. And yet they have, the water comes from, you know where? Up north. And it comes down at levels, they get millions and millions of barrels of gallons of water that they have, and they send it out into the Pacific. For the Pacific, it's like a drop, it's nothing. But for California, it would take care of the whole state. So what's happened is a tragedy, and the governor has not done a good job. With that being said, I got along well with him when he was governor. We worked together very well, and we would work together. I guess it looks like we're going to be the one having to rebuild it. But what happened there, I don't think there's anything that I've ever seen quite like it. And the insurance companies are going to have a big problem, because you're talking about big, big dollars.
This is right.
Oh, I have no. I thought it was ridiculous that he did that, but we have more important things to talk about. Liz Cheney was, she lost in the Republican Party, as you know, in her state, by the biggest margin in the history of a politician running for Congress. She lost by like 42 points. Nobody's ever lost like that. So I have. I don't care about Liz Cheney. I care about these people.
Yeah, what a great line there. Yeah, well, who is the reporter? Oh. All this stuff going on in the world right now, and Liz Cheney. Nobody freaking cares about Liz Cheney anymore. My goodness.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I feel like we're running a hurry-up offense here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Yeah, with David Noble joining us, and we're going to cover a whole bunch of different topics in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. That's why I'm really trying to hone in on this story out of California, because I think it's something that you and I and all of us here in Montana know all too well, which is failed land management policies, not just at the federal level, but really this failed policies, these predatory policies of the pro wolf, the pro grizzly, at all, no matter what the cost, no matter how big the numbers. No, they're still going to throw these things at you with their predatory policies and then their failed environmental. You think about it. Here these guys are spending all this time complaining about carbon dioxide. I imagine being a firefighter fighting the fires in the forests of Montana. Now, that smoke isn't good for you, but imagine the smoke of some trees burning in Montana, by and large, compared to everything that is burning in L.A. right now, and all of the other toxic things that are going to be in the air as a result now of these destructive environmental policies. I mean, just imagine that.
Let me tell you the perspective from Mar-a-Lago.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. That I think that audio went out over the air there. All right. Thanks for catching that, Caden. Caden. I was the reason you heard that Michael Walt audio just bleed over there is I had an email I was sending him. Hey, here's all the Twitter audio I was tracking down. Here's all the audio from X. And I went in and I was like, oh shoot, I never sent the email. It was still sitting up in my. So yeah, always so much we're trying to cover here on the show. So thanks for snagging those for us here, Caden. Yeah, Michael Waltz is the Green Beret Florida congressman who President Trump is tapping to be his national security advisor. He had some spot-on remarks with regard to these fires as well. So we'll talk about that here later this morning. But anyway, predatory policies is just the words that I'm thinking of to describe the failures in California. The failures of the Biden administration now refusing to delist the grizzly and much more. But here we go. So Montana's new senator, Tim Sheehy, was on not only Mark Levin's radio show last night, but he was on with Laura Ingraham as well. And before I play the audio of his conversation here with Laura Ingraham, I just got to say something that's worth pointing out here. Could you imagine if flip-flop flat-top was still in the United States Senate right now? Could you imagine if John Tester was still a senator from Montana right now? Could you imagine the virtue signaling, the crap, frankly, that we would be hearing from John Tester? You could just imagine this guy throwing shade at Donald J. Trump. He would be
publishing these stupid statements about, oh, well, Donald Trump is this and Donald Trump is that and blah, 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 blah. Some stupid, petty soundbite from John Tester to undermine President Donald J. Trump, to undermine America, the typical drivel that we heard out of that guy for 18 years. Versus, now the reason I say that is because now you listen to a real leader with real on the ground and in the air experience with Tim Sheehy. Somebody with actually, anyway, as Tim Sheehy, when he first started talking with Laura Ingraham last night, you know, he was talking, you know, she was talking about, you know, these super scooper airplanes that are fighting these fires, the yellow, and then they had imagery of the yellow and red super scoopers. And Tim's like, yeah, those are the planes that I fly. Those are the planes that the company he founded, Bridger Aerospace in Belgrade, Montana, they fly those exact planes. It's the same company that John Tester and the shameful Democrats and the fake news media here in Montana were so viciously, shamefully attacking over the last 18 months. Where's the apology from those fake news media folks, right? Where's the thank you from the fake news media folks for the work that that company does? Anyway, I digress. So anyway, they're in the middle of having that conversation. They only got about 90 seconds in, and then boom, President Trump's live on Capitol Hill. They cut away to President Trump. Then they come back to Laura Ingraham and Montana Senator Tim Sheehy.
Tim Sheehy continues with us, of course, Senator, new senator from the great state of Montana, who has a little experience in fighting fires. Senator, tell us about that meeting with President Trump today. He is raring to go. I saw him on Saturday night. I had a chance to meet Georgia Maloney briefly. Tell us about what he said and what the future looks like.
It was a fantastic meeting. And like you said, we actually started off the meeting talking about these wildfires for several minutes. You know, those red and yellow planes you showed on the screen, I used to personally fly those. You know, our aircraft, we don't have enough planes. We don't have enough firefighters. And President Trump committed that he's going to make sure we put our communities first. We're not going to put the Eurasian shellfish first. We're not going to put, wrong-headed environmental plans first. We're going to make sure we can protect our communities from wildfire from coast to coast. We discussed the Panama Canal. You know, that's been top of news lately. But like you said, it's a national security priority. We lost 38,000 lives, spent, you know, I don't know how many billions of dollars in today's money building an engineering feat that's literally changed the face of the globe. We have to be able to move our ships from the Atlantic to the Pacific. We need to have free commerce. China controls that canal. They've been taking advantage of it. They're violating the treaty obligations. It's about time we take it back, and we support them fully in that. It's a commercial and national security priority for us. And of course, we talked about the mandate we have coming out of this election. And the fact that the American people are not going to sit around and wait, and they're not going to listen for process excuses. They want results. So we need to pass these bills, one big, beautiful bill, five bills, 10 bills, whatever it takes. We need to get to work to secure the border, bring inflation down, and bring common sense back to this government.
Now, we're still looking at pictures from the Pacific Palisades in California, and thinking about what Trump just said, Senator, this really is a national priority. I know states have their own forest management programs and plans and priorities, and I'm a states' rights person. But when the federal government is going to have to spend, I can't even imagine how much money they're going to need to restore California. Something's got to be done about this water and forest management issue.
A national response time standard. In every city in this country, the NFPA sets a response time that in 5 minutes, a fire engine will be at your front door if you pull the fire alarm or call 911. There is no standard that requires a response to a wildfire. It's time to change that. We need fire engine. We need to pay firefighters a living wage. We need water bombers and helicopters ready to launch year-round, all 50 states. That's not too much to ask for. Let's get it done.
Well, they also have to have water that's available, as President Trump said, and damming up rivers does allow for a water supply to be consistent. And the firefighters repeatedly said they needed that today.
Well, again, you're seeing the results. You know, all these little policies, death by a thousand cuts, these environmental policies, Endangered Species Act, wrong-headed conservation policies, these policies add up and they have impacts.
All right, Senator, we got to roll.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was Montana Senator Tim Sheehy on
with Laura Ingraham last night. And again, big thanks to the Disney family in Libby, Montana, a couple of our great listeners, Harry and Mo. They always send great information, but they were also listening in. So I mentioned, so Sheehy had a similar conversation with Mark Levin on the radio last night, Wednesday night. But they were also listening in to Sean Hannity's program. And apparently, I missed it. I missed Hannity's radio show yesterday afternoon. Maybe you guys didn't. But I think it must have been Miranda Devine, because they said Miranda somebody, she sounds British, was on Hannity's program talking about the California fires. And she made the point that, look, when Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke was Trump's interior secretary, they were leading the way to fix problems like this, to stop things like this from happening in the first place. And then and yet look at what they tried to do to Ryan Zinke, and then now look at everything that's happening in California. So anyway, we'll talk more about that here later this morning on the show, if not after the next break. I got about a minute before the break here. We got a caller on the phone lines, just called in. Michael in the Gallatin Valley. Michael, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
So if you watch Biden presenting the military medals last week, he was holding the hands and kissing the women military personnel. And isn't that without permission? Isn't that what Trump was charged with that author?
So I missed the video. Was he doing like the new, you know, the East Coast thing where they do the fake smooch on the cheek thing? Is that what he was doing?
Well, same thing as kissing without asking permission. And to me, that's sexual assault, and he should be charged.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Weren't there actual allegations against Joe Biden? And, of course, the media never wants to talk about that. Why don't they take him to civil court like the fake phony BS they pulled against Donald J. Trump, right? All right, Michael, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Quick break. We've got phone lines open for you and hopefully David Noble in the house coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is what environmental radicalism gets you. I'll never forget, I went out to the San Joaquin Valley. I covered this for Fox. You had all these farms, massive farms, that were bone dry, and there was all of this water that was available to them, and it was not made available to farmers because they wanted to protect what's called the Delta Smelt. Now, the Delta Smelt, if you look it up and look at a picture of it, it looks like a little minnow fish. It's not even like an exotic fish. And by the way, not even an endangered species. And they cared more about the Delta Smelt than they did about the farmers, and the farmers lost their entire livelihood.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day, maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies. High temperature readings will stay from the mid to upper 30s. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies as temperatures will head back down to the mid-teens. Then on Friday, with partial sun and some increasing cloudiness, high temperatures staying back in the mid to upper 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health.
virtual meetings might be doing more than facilitating workplace collaboration. Recent studies show it could be fueling a desire for cosmetic procedures. It's part of a phenomenon nicknamed video conferencing dysmorphia. Researchers from Harvard Medical School and Boston University, among others, say the COVID-19 pandemic triggered a rise in consideration for cosmetic procedures. Researchers looked at more than 500 participants and found the more time people spent looking at themselves during a video call, the more likely they were to think about getting cosmetic surgery. Features like touch up my appearance on online meeting platforms also influencing individuals' perception of themselves. Nearly 90% of people surveyed say they used video conferencing apps more than 3 days a week. The data is published in the Journal of Clinical and Aesthetic Dermatology. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, what do you guys think? Would Montanans welcome Canada as the 51st state of the United States of America? Well, you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app if you've got your answer. Plus, in the meantime, I wrote my answer. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see it right there. Plus, this is the first time in nearly 130...
care.com or download the free app today.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas and Saunas Live Well, Feel Better Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I forgot as I was heading into the break there. I said, hey, call into the show. But I forgot, here every day now during the legislative session, we have a legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. So let's roll right into it.
As we begin day four of the 90-day legislative session, the operating premise seems to be hurry up and wait, especially in the Montana Senate. As with any large process, overcoming inertia takes a while. In this case, bills have to be drafted, then introduced, then assigned to a committee, then scheduled for a hearing. All of this takes time. Yesterday, House committees heard 21 bills. This is about par for the course on day three. Later in the session, committees will hear hundreds of bills in a day. Like a train leaving a station, the pace of hearings begins slowly, then rapidly picks up speed. The problem in the Senate is that the train has yet to leave the station. So far, zero bills have been heard, committees are not meeting, and the Senate is at a standstill. Time's being wasted because nine Republicans joined all 18 Democrats earlier this week in a soft coup. In an attempt to get more powerful committee assignments, they downgraded a newly formed executive review committee to an on-call committee and then reassigned the committee members to much more powerful committees like finance and business and labor. That brought the entire Senate to a screeching halt as members of leadership scrambled to mitigate the damage. So far, not a single bill has been heard, and with the exception of judiciary, no Senate committees are scheduled to meet. It's a frustrating train wreck to be sure, but it's not without precedent. Things like this happen from time to time when legislators focus on themselves rather than on the body as a whole. But I predict it's just a bump in the road. At some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, reason and cooler heads will prevail, a solution will be found, and in the end, this will wind up being a speed bump rather than a brick wall. That said, it's interesting how things have changed. 25 years ago, when I served in the legislature, there were several unspoken rules, one of which was if you're in the majority party, you never cede power to the minority party. Internal disputes were handled behind closed doors by the members of each caucus. It would have been unthinkable for a member of the majority party to join with the minority just to get your way. That has changed since term limits were implemented. The first example occurring in 2005 when two Democrat House members joined with Republicans to oust Speaker-elect Dave Wansenried and replace him with a moderate Democrat named Gary Matthews. In this most recent case, the motion to downgrade the committee and reassign the members was made by Democrat Minority Leader Pat Flowers, who was then joined by nine moderate Republicans. The vote was 27-23 in favor of the motion. Politics is an interesting and at times frustrating animal. It's also a fascinating study in human nature. It's important to remember that when it comes to legislating, you can only do what you have the votes to do. Conversely, if you have the votes, you can do just about anything. As we speak, you can be certain that there are those behind the scenes working to find a solution. If they find enough votes, the solution can be achieved by raw political power. If the votes just aren't there, then it's time for the statesman to step in and negotiate an acceptable compromise. It's not pretty, but it's how politics works, and it reminds us of the old saying, our form of government is not perfect. It's just better than all the other forms that have been tried.
Great update there by Jeff Lasloff with the Montana Family Foundation. Check out their website for more and any of their legislative updates. But fascinating insight. He's there. He sees it all going down. So appreciate that. Thank you, Jeff.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.